I've written an open letter to President Clinton. I want to share it with you today.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Friends, this is our moment. This is our moment to stand up for what is right. This is our moment to function as salt and light. This is our moment to make a difference. This is not the moment to take to the hills. This is not the moment to have an escapist mentality or throw in the towel. This is the moment to make our voices heard. And together, by God's grace, we are making a difference. Michael Brown, thanks so much for joining us today on The Line of Fire. I trust this entire week is going to be impacting and life-changing for you starting today. To get in the conversation, here's the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, or you can weigh in on my website, askdrbrown.org. Just click on The Line of Fire. Friends, so much is happening in rapid succession. And sometimes if we listen to the secular media, if we listen to the worldly perspective, we'll think it's just too late to bring about change. But with God, there's no such thing as too late while we have life and breath. Oh, it's too late for those who've died and rejected the Lord. It's too late to fix that. But whatever is happening in our world, with God, all things are possible. And if we simply understand that our calling, our role, is not necessarily to be the next president of the United States, or it could be one of you. I'm sure it's not going to be me. If we understand that our calling is not necessarily to be the next Bill Gates or Steve Jobs, although that could be one of you, certainly it's not going to be me either. But if we're not just trying to think we've got to be the biggest, we've got to be the most famous, if we simply say God is the one who's big, God is the one who's overall. God is the one who rules and reigns as king. And if we can align ourselves with God, all things are possible. I want to talk to you today about what has happened with former President Bill Clinton in an editorial that he published last week in the Washington Post, explaining why he now wants to see the Supreme Court overturn the Defense of Marriage Act, the bill that he signed into law 17 years ago, he's asking the Supreme Court to overturn now. So you have former President Clinton, you have current President Obama, you have the secular media aligned for major societal transformation that would basically codify you and me as bigots, that would basically declare that those of us who hold to fundamental biblical values and the only definition of marriage that is adhered basically through human history until after the sexual revolution of the 60s and its aftermath, those of us who hold to those things, those of us who say marriage should not be genderless, those of us who do not want to endorse an institution that would then sanction kids being raised without a mom or without a dad in that so-called marriage, it would codify us as bigots and make us no different than the KKK in many ways in the eyes of much of the nation. We must speak. We must speak. You say, all right, well, Mike, you've got a radio show, you write books, you write these articles, but you're certainly not President Clinton or President Obama. You know, and your radio voice is certainly not that of Rush Limbaugh. And I understand, but I'm a child of God. I'm a son of God. I'm a believer. I put my trust in the living God, and I'm only called to be a faithful witness and leave it to God to bring about the change. Friends, if you stand up in your world, if you stand up for righteousness where you live, you have no idea the ripple effect that could come out of it. We come back, I'll share more background and then read to you my letter to President Clinton.
is The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Friends, I want to encourage you today that your light can shine in darkness. I want to encourage you today that as an individual, you can make a difference. I want to encourage you to speak up and speak out in the sphere of influence that you have. I can't reach people you can reach. You can't reach people I can reach. We are each placed uniquely by God, and we can make a difference. 866-348-7884. Just a heads up, tomorrow for 2 hours, I will be interviewing my dear friend, Steve Hill, international evangelist and author of a very critically important book, Spiritual Avalanche, The Threat of False Teachings That Could Destroy Millions. In fact, we're offering that as our resource offer all this week. Make sure you tune in tomorrow. Tell your friends, call your friends. I am sure, I know it's in Steve's heart. I am sure tomorrow's broadcast will literally be riveting for you. And if you miss any of it, you'll want to get online and listen to the rest. Okay, before I explain the background to my letter to former President Clinton called Mr. Clinton, You Are Wrong About Overturning DOMA, I want to share something very different with you. I wrote an article last week. It's been shared over 4,000 times already. It's about a teenage girl who's inspiring masses of people, Cassidy Hooper, 16, born without eyes or nose. And she, after a number of surgeries, is finally going to have a nose that she could breathe through and smell through, a functioning nose. But of course, she remains blind. And when she was being interviewed, she lives here in North Carolina. When she was being interviewed, this amazing young lady who goes to a school for the blind and is on the track team and has tried playing baseball and has ridden a go-kart, you know, driven it. I mean, just an exceptional young lady. She said, things always may be hard, but here's what I think. And she quoted Bethany Hamilton, known as Soul Surfer, the young lady whose arm was bitten off by a shark when she was laying on her surfboard. And she was a champion young surfboarder, surfer, and she went back to surfing a month later. If you can imagine that. She quotes Bethany Hamilton, who said, I don't need easy, I just need possible. I don't need easy, I just need possible. No one said following Jesus is going to be easy, friends. No one said standing for morality is going to be easy. Jesus said, in this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. There's a testimony I shared in the second hour last week. I want to share it with all of you now in this first hour. Here's a woman who lives in San Antonio, Texas. 2 years ago, she heard a show that I did called Supermarket Smut, and I talked about the magazines that we're confronted with at checkout counters in our grocery stores, drug stores, superstores. And what got my attention recently was checking out of a store. This is a few years back, and there was just one of these lewd Sports Illustrated swimsuit editions. I thought, what in the world is a grocery store? Now, I had addressed this when we lived in Maryland at Nancy's encouragement to do so. Oh, back in the early 90s, I write about that in my book, It's Time to Rock the Boat. But in this particular case, I come on, I know to watch my eyes at the checkout counters, but, I said something to the manager. I said, you get complaints about this? They said, oh, if we do, we remove them. I said, really? I said, yeah, if people complain, we remove them. I said, well, that's really over the top. And he goes, oh, yeah, yeah. Well, and anyway, it dawned on me then, wait a second, I have a radio show. So I started talking about it on the radio, and people started going into the stores politely. If it was going to be any problem for a man to even look at the magazine, then I just suggest a woman would do it and just politely say, you know, it's really inappropriate for a checkout counter. It sexualizes women, just makes them into sex objects. It's degrading for us as women. We don't want our kids to see this trash. We control what they watch at home when they're little. We don't want them to see this trash in the store here. And, you know, the men are defiled by it. Why do you have it at the checkout counter? So people started doing it, and they called the show. They were psyched. Oh, Dr. Brown, you got to hear, oh, Mike, you got to hear what happened. So Stacy wrote this. I want to encourage you. You can make a difference. You say, what difference does it make? Well, what if there were naked pictures at checkout? Or what if the grocery store you went to started playing loud satanic rock music blasting through the place? You need to go somewhere else. You talk to them, would you not? Well, when we start to stand up for these issues, it also triggers many gospel conversations, and it helps us to search our own lives to see how we're living. So Stacy writes this from San Antonio, Texas. Dear Dr. Brown, I wrote 2 years ago after you produced a show titled Supermarket Smut. I've been at it since then, asking that these inappropriate magazines be taken down through kind letters and face-to-face requests. This is regarding the same topic. Great news. Our voices are being heard. Put a smile on your face, friend. Great news. Our voices are being heard. I walked into Walgreens the other day and noticed that they covered this year's Sports Illustrated swimsuit magazine with paper, leaving only the title showing. I immediately went to thank the manager, and he said they had many complaints about the indecency of these magazines, so they did something about it. Isn't it written in Jacob, James, chapter 1, that one of the things we must do to practice true religion, visit fatherless and widows in their affliction, and what's the other? Keep ourselves undefiled from the world. This is a step in that direction. She said, I then walked into HEB, that's, I believe, the grocery store there in San Antonio, and couldn't find a single issue at the registers where I'd seen them before. I went to thank HEB's manager, and she said the same thing. I'm overjoyed to know our voices have been heard and that action is being taken. Please encourage your listeners to ask nicely that the magazines be taken down or covered at the grocery and drugstores in their area. It's working to keep inappropriate magazines from crowding the grocery registers and helping keep our day-to-day lives a little more pure. It's working. Yes. Can I ask you, have you ever done anything like that? Have you ever done anything? Give me a call, 866-348-7884. You say, wait a second. You're about to read a letter that you wrote to President Clinton. You're about to read a letter to the former president, 42nd president, one of the most powerful men in America today, and you're comparing that to going into a grocery store and talking to a store manager? Mm-hmm. You better believe I am. It's each of us in our sphere making a difference. It's each of us in our sphere being a witness. It's each of us in our sphere seeking to change minds. Now, our ultimate goal is to win people to Jesus through the gospel and make them into disciples. At the same time, if we can be a positive influence for righteousness, just like those who fought against slavery and those who fought against the slave trade and those who fight against abortion, if we can be positive influences and help save people from pollution or help generate gospel discussion or help us to search our own hearts, should we not do that? 866-348-7884. If you differ with me, tell me why. Tell me why. But I'm right. All right. Let's give the background. When Bill Clinton was the governor of Arkansas, 1991, he met with lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender advocates in Hollywood, making him the first major presidential candidate to court the gay vote openly. This is according to a timeline from MSNBC, so I'm sure it's not going to miss any of the good gay-friendly things that Mr. Clinton did. 1993, he signed Don't Ask, Don't Tell into law, which allows gay men and women to serve in the armed services if they keep their sexuality a secret. Gay rights advocates were not happy with him. He tried to overturn an existing ban on gay service members serving in the military, so this was basically a compromise. June 1996, Clinton tells LGBT magazine The Advocate, quote, I remain opposed to same-sex marriage. 1996. I believe marriage is an institution for the union of a man and a woman. This has been my longstanding position and is not being reviewed or considered. That was 1996. What changed since then in Mr. Clinton's thinking? As I asked in my letter to him, was he unaware of gay couples that loved each other? Did he have no friends that were gay? Was he unaware of two gay men or two gay women who cared about each other and were seeking to raise a child together? Was he unaware of that? September 1996, he signs DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act, into law, and says in a statement that he long opposed governmental recognition of same-sex marriages, and this legislation is consistent with that position. Wow. Very clear about face. I'm going to read the letter, I promise, when we come back and take your calls right here.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on the Line of Fire. I want to encourage each of you to be a revolutionary where you live, not by being obnoxious, not by being hateful, not by intimidating, but by living out the Jesus principles, which I will say again, provide an open door for us to share the gospel. 866-348-7884. Yeah, we hear people are dropping out of church, but according to a Rasmussen poll, look at this. Religious institutions rank first, 54%, in terms of what people say they are connected to. Local charities and recreational groups are a distant second at 12%. More than one-third of Americans say they feel very connected to their local church or religious institution, which means pastors, leaders, listening to me, you can be an influence, a tremendous influence on a large sector of Americans, not to make us political so much, but to make us like Jesus. My letter to Mr. Clinton, you can read it at townhall.com. Just go to my website, askdrbrown.org. AskDrBrown.org, and click on the Line of Fire. You'll see a link to the latest article. Mr. Clinton, you're wrong about overturning DOMA. Dear Mr. Clinton, with all respect to the office of the president, which you held for 8 years, I must say that it is not just ironic that you are now asking the Supreme Court to overturn the legislation you signed into law 17 years ago. It is downright tragic. In your March 7th editorial for the Washington Post, you wrote that although it was only 17 years ago when you signed the Defense of Marriage Act, quote, it was a very different time. May I ask you, sir, if 17 years have changed the nature of men and women, of mothers and fathers and children, of the essential elements of a family? Have 17 years changed multiplied thousands of years of human history? Have 17 years changed fundamental faith values embraced by several billion people worldwide? You explain that 17 years ago, quote, in no state in the Union was same-sex marriage recognized, much less available as a legal right, but some were moving in that direction. Well, in point of fact, since 1996, 32 states have voted to define marriage as the union of a man and a woman, the majority of them since 2004, including my current home state of North Carolina, which just last year overwhelmingly wrote natural organic marriage into the Constitution by a vote of 61% to 39%, despite a strong majority of Democrats statewide. It is true that for the first time, several states voted in 2012 to redefine marriage, but those were heavily blue states where traditional marriage proponents were outspent by as much as 5-1, and even then, the voting was close. Can you really claim some kind of mandate when 9 times out of 10, 32 states out of 36, when the people have been given a right to vote, they voted against genderless marriage? The mandate is actually against your position, sir, not for it. In your editorial, you offer transparently weak justification of your signing of DOMA, which leads me to ask, Mr. Clinton, did you have no conscience when you signed that bill into law? Did you have no gay or lesbian friends? Had you not met any upstanding gay or lesbian couples working hard to raise a family? I'm sure that was not the case, sir. And with all candor, your justification for signing DOMA in 1996 while asking the Supreme Court to overturn it in 2013 smacks of political correctness more than dispassionate conviction. You wrote that when DOMA comes before the court on March 27th, quote, the justices must decide whether it is consistent with the principles of a nation that honors freedom, equality, and justice above all, and is therefore constitutional. As the president who signed the act into law, I have come to believe that DOMA is contrary to those principles and, in fact, incompatible with our Constitution, end quote. Do you honestly believe, Mr. Clinton, that any of the framers of the Constitution countenanced a day in our great nation when men and women would be marrying, when men would be marrying men and women marrying women, and in the name of the Constitution at that? And since when did our Constitution guarantee the government's endorsement of all romantic attractions and sexual behaviors? And are you genuinely unaware that redefining marriage is just the tip of the iceberg of a massive societal transformation in the name of LGBT rights, including the undoing of gender distinctions? And with your brilliant legal mind, sir, you're oblivious to the fact that polygamists and polyamorous, too numerous to be ignored, are also appealing to freedom, equality, and justice in pursuit of their rights? What would you say to them, especially given the fact that their lifestyles are now being mainstreamed by the very same media that has so shaped American thinking on homosexual issues? You wrote, quote, because Section 3 of the Act defines marriage as being between a man and a woman, same-sex couples who are legally married in 9 states and the District of Columbia are denied the benefits of more than 1,000 federal statutes and programs available to other married couples, end quote. But what does this have to do with the radical redefinition of marriage? What does this have to do with sanctioning an institution that will guarantee that a child has either no mother or no father? What does this have to do with rendering marriage genderless, to the point that marriage certificates could be reduced to partner A and partner B, along with birth certificates being reduced to parent A and parent B? In this context, I should mention the Florida judge who approved the adoption of a 22-month-old baby girl that will list 3 people as parents on her birth certificate, a married lesbian couple and a gay man. Mr. Clinton, if marriage is simply the union of 2 people and not the union of a man and a woman, can you give me one solid intellectual reason or one compelling social argument why marriage cannot involve more than 2 consenting adults? What is so special about the number 2 if it does not consist of a male and female with their unique biological and social compatibility and, in normal circumstances, their ability to produce children whom they are raised for the next generation? You claim to know that DOMA not only provided, quote, an excuse for discrimination, but that, quote, the law is itself discriminatory. Surely you must realize that polygamists, polyamorous, and others will find your current position discriminatory. More importantly, the sanctioning of same-sex marriage will mean that multiplied tens of millions of God-fearing Americans will be codified as bigots. Surely the height of ugly discrimination. Mr. Clinton, you were right before. You were wrong now. I pray that God will give you another change of heart. Please read that letter. Circulate it to your friends. Go to AskDrBrown.org, click on the line of fire, and you will see a link to that article, which is now posted on townhall.com. Friends, get your copy. It's hot off the press. I was given an advance copy of Spiritual Avalanche, The Threat of False Teaching That Could Destroy Millions by Steve Hill. Steve will be joining me for both hours tomorrow. This is a book you need to read. And we're packaging it together with our 2-hour interview that will take place tomorrow. Just $20 postage paid for the book and the interview. My friend Sid Roth said this is a vision from God to prevent millions from end time deception. And just the endorsements in the front, it's kind of a who's who of noted national and international leaders. So get the book and the CDs with the 2 hours of interviews tomorrow by calling 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, that's 1-800-278-9978. Or you can go to our website, AskDrBrown.org. And when you go there, just click on the online bookstore and you will see today's special offer. Friends, now is a great time to go after God in prayer. Now is a great time to say no to the flesh and seek the face of God. Now is a great time to put on the armor of God and to make a difference and to shine brightly. It is the hour we've been waiting for where the church can make a difference. The backdrop is darkness, deception. The good news is our light can shine all the more. We're just getting started. We're just getting started.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Shake the nation. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on the Line of Fire. It is time for us to speak truth to power. It is time for us to recognize that all authority belongs to Jesus in heaven and earth, and therefore we go and make disciples. There is no iron curtain. There is no bamboo curtain. There is no media curtain. There is no demonic curtain that can stop the gospel from going forward, that can triumph over truth, that can stop light from shining. Michael Brown, thank you. Thank you for joining us. 866-348-7884. In the first half hour, I read my letter, open letter to former President Clinton as he calls for the Supreme Court to overturn the Defense of Marriage Act, which he himself signed into law 17 years ago. Read that. If you missed it, go to AskDrBrown.org, click on the Line of Fire. You'll see a link to the article. It's getting a lot of attention as I look. The comments are pouring in, and it's getting shared widely. So make sure you read it and share it with your friends and colleagues. But I also read a testimony from a woman in San Antonio, Texas, who said that she started to do what I encourage listeners to do a few years back, which was to go to the local stores. Look, we got to start where we live. So go to the local grocery store. You're checking out. You see some lewd magazine cover. Politely say something to the manager. It's really inappropriate. We get kids passing through your families. It's really inappropriate. And raise consciousness. And it's just, that's part of what we do. We're a conscience for the society. Now, we're not trying to get people to conform to our norms and thereby just live by a legal code. We're saying that part of our being salt means being a moral conscience. When Paul spoke to Felix, he reasoned with him not just about having a blessed new life. He reasoned with him about self-control and righteousness and the judgment to come. And Felix was shaken. Why? Well, he was in an adulterous marriage. You never know what happens when you stand up. 866-34-TRUTH. You may just get rejected for the gospel and get stronger in your faith. So will President Clinton read what I wrote? It could be. Why not? Published on a prominent political website. God's given me a voice. I've got this national radio show. Could be. But whether he does or not, I'm going to speak as a witness. And others will read it and be encouraged and strengthened, and it will help them think clearly. To the phones with our good friend, Chaplain Viviana in Brooklyn, New York. How you doing there, sister?
Doing great, and I salute you for making a stand, and I pray that everyone will be encouraged to make that difference in their own sphere of influence. I had experience with this in military retail stores, and I would see the pornographic magazines being displayed, and as a community person, I even suggested that they even take them out. And for a short while, they did, but then they decided to cover them. I would go to CVS or even local bodegas.
Yeah, and that was a step in the right direction. You know, there are statistics, studies that indicate that people who are exposed to more pornography have a higher divorce rate or will act things out more or are more prone to compromise their views of marriage. So, yeah, we have to stand up. And Chaplain, you're one woman working in a big city, but you know it just takes individuals standing up, doesn't it?
Definitely so. As a matter of fact, the culture wants us to believe that one person can't make a difference, and they're trying to put us Christians into the closet. And I know that you've mentioned this too, Steve, that it's when we speak God's word and God's truth in a way that they can hear and not, you know, mean-spirited, that's when the Holy Spirit can convict their hearts.
Absolutely. And we make clear we're not ashamed of the gospel. We're not ashamed of Jesus. Right back with more calls. And we'll talk about gays bullying Tim Tebow.
Send it, Lord.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yeah, I always get mocked for this statement, but it becomes clearer by the day that there's no hyperbole in it. I said for many years that those who came out of the closet, gay activists came out of the closet over 40 years ago now, fighting in their mind for equality, for rights, just to be recognized as fellow human beings and treated as such, fighting for this passionately. Those who came out of the closet now want to put us in the closet. Oh, you're crazy. No, friends, we're watching it unfold every day. Michael Brown, welcome to The Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. Look, just to hold to views that marriage is the union of a man and woman subjects you to ridicule in certain parts of the country and all over the secular media. Just to stand for biblical principles of salvation only through Jesus, along with biblical values concerning sexuality, subjects you to ridicule for being doubly bigoted and clearly homophobic. So when Tim Tebow was going to speak, be one of the speakers at the dedication of First Baptist in Dallas, Pastor Robert Jeffress, he made a wrong decision based on whatever counseling he got, made a wrong decision not to go. And it was just bad decision, period. The people, whoever it was that he was trying to placate, mollify, satisfy, will never be satisfied. And it was one of the rare things that I looked at with Tim Tebow and thought, what a shame. He got that wrong. He got that wrong. I didn't talk about it on the air, and I ended up not writing an article. I didn't want to gang up at that point or jump in because he's been so exemplary in so many ways. But the fact of the matter is, he just spoke at Liberty University, a school founded by Jerry Falwell. And he came under pressure. There was a petition with over 20,000 signatures urging him not to speak, saying, how dare you speak at Liberty? You are wrong to go there. And urging him not to. I mean, it's friends. You can't have a Christian university with Christian values and go speak there without getting blasted in the process. This is what it has come to try to marginalize and neutralize and demonize fine institutions like Liberty, training young men and women to be men and women of God and make a positive difference in society. Between their enrollment and online students, about 100,000 students now. They're very close to that number. Don't go there. They're bigots. And we should turn against Tim Tebow if he goes. That's what I'm talking about, the attempt to put us in the closet. 866-348-7884. James in Washington, D.C., thank you for calling The Line of Fire.
Hey, God bless you, Dr. Brown. Thank you for all that you do.
Welcome.
Hey, Friska. I had an opportunity to pull together many of the churches in the Harford County area. They had a law in the book that did not allow soothsayer establishments, fortune-telling establishments in the county. And so I was able to pull together many churches, get hundreds of petitions signed, and bring them down to the city as well as the county city hall hearing. And to have that, you know, not to have that overturned. And we didn't just bring theological arguments, but we also were able to bring some other very practical arguments, such as social as well as economic, talking about how that type of practice allows a lot of negative activity to into a city, as well as taking advantage of those that are not privy to the type of practices and to the swindling and to the conning that many of them, the practices that they use. And overall, I think it was a very good not only response, but they actually suspended having it overturned for the season. But it also allowed us to have a lot of great bonds and with churches that we still keep today. And it also allowed us to develop a network to stay together, stay bond together to speak out against unrighteousness. And just this last point that I encourage people that if they're in cities or different places where they can go down to the city hall and hear the things that are happening even in the county and the city, it would behoove us as a church to be mindful because things get passed right under our noses and we don't know about it until we see these establishments start to get opened up.
Yeah, well, James, you're right on what you're saying, and I so appreciate you bringing these things to our attention, and I appreciate what you've done. I've got two questions for you. First, what effect did it have on you or the other believers to get involved in the public square? Was it spiritually energizing? Was it what happened to the people themselves by getting involved?
Well, you know, we definitely, you know, I know personally as well as others, there was a great bit of encouragement that there were people willing to pull together to organize having our voice heard. And, you know, people were, you know, I think it's encouraged people to be willing, because many church leaders also came out to the hearing, and it encouraged them to go out and to speak about it. And I was very encouraged by the response. I will also say on the other side, I wasn't discouraged, but I was encouraged to pray for many churches that animately voiced their opinion not to be involved, that they just wanted to basically, from my perspective, just have church, not be a wrinkle, right, I guess, in the fabric, and not be involved.
James, was their mentality that if we do this, we'll appear divisive or it will take us away from preaching the gospel? Was that one of the reasons that they said they were going to step away from it?
You know, I would respect and understand if that was the point, if that was the purpose, but they did not make that known. Matter of fact, one particular ministry, their whole approach was, we don't want to have anything to do with that. And
right.
You know, and that was, you know, without an explanation, because my whole mindset is that if you have a perspective or a revelation that I should know and maybe will change my view, you should share it with me. You should want to reconcile me to your opinion if you feel that's right. But if you're just shutting back and shunning me for encouraging you and challenging you to step out, then that's another thing.
Got it. All right, last question for you, James. Just to help us understand this, are you a pastor or a community leader in your area? If not, how did you take the initiative to do this?
Well, I am just an elder, and to be honest, reaching out actually propelled me into a place of probably, and when I say just elder, I'm a servant of God. Praise God for that.
Right. But you said just, in other words, meaning you don't have the title of senior pastor. You don't have certain clout that could come with that. You're not, say, a bishop over a number
exactly.
of churches. Right. So you got a burden. You're serving in the Lord. You're an elder, so you're solid in God. But you, basically, you felt, okay, we've got to do something, and God used you to do it. In fact, that's the better answer. If you told me you were like the presiding bishop over 8 trillion churches and you just sent out an email blast, you know, that's one thing. But you basically took the bull by the horns and said, let's get together and do something.
Amen.
Yeah, well, God bless you, man, for doing it. Continue to be strong. And listen, the goal is whenever Jesus comes, he finds us faithful, unashamed, standing up as witnesses, reaching the lost, reaching out with compassion, speaking the truth in love. So thank you so much, sir, for what you're doing and for sharing that with us.
Thank you. God bless.
All right. Let me tell you what we did here in Charlotte. When we moved here in 2003, next year, we got here a little later, summer, fall 2003. 2004, some local Christians who went down to the gay pride event to preach the gospel there invited some of our folks to go. I was overseas at that time. But they went, were just terribly grieved to see what was happening in the events, some of the public lewd things that were wrong. If it was a heterosexual event, they would have been wrong in a public park. And some of these Christians began to get involved by going to the monthly meetings that the mayor would preside over, and you'd have the city council. And once a month, there would be an open mic, and 10 different people could share for 2 minutes on whatever they wanted to. We need a traffic light at this intersection. You know, we need to do something about the schools, the textbooks, or, you know, whatever. Whatever you wanted to talk about that was relevant for the city council. And our friends would book all 10 slots and go down to the city council meeting and say, this is happening in our public parks, and this is wrong and inappropriate, and we're asking you to do something about the Gay Pride event, or at least some of the content of the Gay Pride event. We tell folks at our church, hey, we need you to show up tomorrow night. Sunday morning, we tell them we need you to show up Monday night. One of the gentlemen got up, and the place was packed basically by all believers from our church and some other ministries in the city. And he said, if you agree with what I'm about to say about this issue, stand up. Everybody stands up. I mean, the city council, they heard this. The mayor said, I didn't know it was a gay pride event. When I wrote an invitation for Pride Charlotte, I didn't know it was a gay pride event. He said, I won't write it again. Now, the event in recent years has grown, and the current mayor supports it. But I want you to know, as we dealt with the last mayor, interacted with him, he rescinded the letter and then told, in public, in the newspaper, said, they have every right to be here. I have every right not to welcome them.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH. I was asked to record some video clips for a major evangelistic organization and some shows they're going to be airing Resurrection Week, Easter, as it's called by most of the church. And I was asked about the significance of the resurrection. I'm not mentioning the specific broadcast yet because I sent them the clips and I assume they're going to use them, but I don't know. So in case it's too much info, you know, I don't want to say it in advance. But anyway, As I explained the significance of the resurrection of Jesus, I said, that's all I need to know. That's all I need to know. He rose from the dead, and that's it. If he rose from the dead, then everything else is going to be all right. Seriously, that settles it for me. Jesus rose from the dead. He is Lord. Everything else is going to fall into place. Everything else is going to work itself out as I submit to him. There's no reason for fear. There's no reason for hopelessness. I know certain things are irreversible in this world, but there is a world to come. I serve the one who rules heaven and earth. I serve the one who is king. I serve the one whom all the armies of the world cannot intimidate. All the nuclear bombs in the world cannot intimidate. All the media, all the governments cannot. The God who says that the nations are a drop in the bucket to him. A drop in the bucket. So, in all candor, I live with constant confidence because Jesus is Lord and he's risen from the dead. I live with constant confidence that God is working out his plan in the midst of the earth. And that, look, for me, friends, the fact that I'm talking to you on the radio, the fact that I'm talking to, for example, the listeners on WMCA, the fact that I'm speaking to listeners on WAVA, just a couple of stations that we're on that I'm referencing. I lived in these different areas. I had a calling from God to be on the radio in these different areas, and God laid it on my heart that part of being on the radio would be part of helping to spark a national gospel-based moral and cultural revolution. So with that in mind, I'm encouraged because God opened these doors. I'm encouraged because through these doors, we're able to speak to people we couldn't speak to before. You say a lot of people are on the radio. I understand that, but I had a specific word from the Lord about it. I had a specific commission from the Lord about it. And as the Lord has opened these doors more supernaturally than you might realize, and with less initiative on my end and more on God's end, we are seeing results. We are seeing people rally together. We are seeing courage and strength come. So I do not minister out of a sense of fear. I do not share what's happening in society with a sense of, oh no, it's all over. And in fact, I'm looking at what Tim Tebow had to say. some of Tim Tebow's quotes, and these are things I'm sure he ministered to the students at Liberty University over the weekend, despite bullying trying to get him to stop from going. "Your goals," he says, "should be as big as the God we serve." He said, "You know you have real passion about something when you're willing to sacrifice." Are you willing to sacrifice? Are you willing to give up your time? Are you willing to give up your effort? And ultimately, are you willing to give up your life for your relationship with Jesus Christ? How big are your goals? He said, "You don't know when you're in your fourth quarter. You don't know how much time you have left. Are you ready? Are you willing to finish strong? Are you passionate about the gospel? Are you willing not to be average, but to be an example? Are you going to be great? Are you going to serve others? And are you going to, and are you willing to finish strong?" You know what it means? It means starting strong. It means persevering strong. It means being determined that we will not turn back and we will not throw in the towel and we will not quit. And we will make a determination. No matter what the cost, we will glorify Jesus. Friends, be sure to tune in tomorrow. I want to say again, you will be richly ministered to. You will be riveted with this interview with my colleague Steve Hill as he speaks about his new book, Spiritual Avalanche, The Threat of False Teachings That Could Destroy Millions. It is a very readable book, and it will awaken you and shake you and stir you, and it is full of scripture as well. Don't miss the interview. It'll be 2 full hours, all right? 2 full hours. And if you want to get the book today, we're offering the book along with the 2-hour interview that'll take place tomorrow for just $20 postage paid. It's literally hot off the press. We got an advance copy last week. Here's the number to call, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. All right? You can go to our website, askdrbrown.org, and just click on the online bookstore there. All right? And we will take care of you. 1-800-278-9978. Again, if you have not read my letter to former President Clinton, Mr. Clinton, you are wrong about overturning DOMA. It's on townhall.com. But the easiest way to read it, just go to my website, askdrbrown.org, and click on the line of fire. Excuse me. Yeah, click on the line of fire. That's it. That's it. And you'll be directed to the article. Quick testimony. I've got a minute here. So Thursday night, I'm in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, doing a talk to Christian students at a Chi Alpha group there. Very attentive, very focused, asked great, amazing questions. Young man comes up to me afterwards, wants to talk to me. He's Jewish. He's not a believer, but he heard a Messianic Jew was going to be speaking. Wanted to talk to me further about Jesus. We had lunch together on Saturday. He changed his plans. He was going to be out of the city. He ended up staying. We had lunch together. He was focused. He was clear-headed. I was thoroughly impressed with this young man. And basically right there on the edge, ready to be born again, ready to receive Jesus. I just wanted him to see and understand things more clearly before he prayed. And who knew? I mean, who knew I'd be going to Tuscaloosa, Alabama, home of the University of Alabama and the Crimson Tide. Who knew? I certainly wasn't thinking this, that I'd be going there and end up doing one-on-one Jewish evangelism with a God-prepared young man. So you never know. Keep your eyes open. You never know the opportunities he'll present to you. My bottom line today, please don't say, "God can't use me. I'm only one. God can't use me. I'm too little. I'm too small." Remember, your power comes from Almighty God. With Him, you are in the majority. Churches that meet in bars and serve hard liquor to their congregants?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, I'm all for reaching the lost by getting involved in their lives. I'm all for getting into the world with worldly people so as to win the lost, go into all the world, make disciples, preach the gospel. I am absolutely opposed to becoming worldly to reach the world. No, that's not the gospel. Thanks, friends, for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, the number to call. Let me ask you a question. How far should we go in reaching the lost? How far should we go in being around sinners? Hey, it's one thing to learn a language, foreign language, to go be a missionary. Maybe there's a certain dress and culture, you dress like them. How far do you go? What about using certain music to draw people in? What about meeting in certain buildings to draw people in? Would it be okay to meet in a bar if you preached against drunkenness and get people to come to the bar? What if you want to reach people in a strip club? What do you do in that situation? How far does one go? What if you want to reach people in a crack house, shooting dope, shooting crack? What do you do? How far do you go? 866-348-7884. What did Paul mean when he said he became all things to all men so as to save some? Did he mean that he got down and dirty with the sinners and sinned with the sinners to win them? 866-348-7884. Oh, we're going to have a good broadcast today. Oh, it's going to get lively today. And we may even touch on some sacred cows and some religious traditions. Or, oh, you know what? I'm going to be really candid. A lot of the people who use the word religion, man, you're just religious. I'm not into religion. They're the most religious people I know. What's the essence of hypocritical religion? The essence of hypocritical religion is expressed in Luke 18, the religious leader, the Pharisee, who says, I thank God that I'm not like other people, like this publican, this tax collector, this guy over here. Thank God I'm not like him. I fast twice a week. I pray. I do all this. That's the essence of hypocritical religion. And a lot of people who say, well, I'm not religious. I don't get dressed up and go to church. I don't attend church on Sunday. We just meet at our home and Thursday nights and sit around and play games, and we're more spiritual than any of you. We drink, and, you know, some of those are the most religious, hypocritical people I know, full of judgmentalism against others. I thank God I'm not like others. Oh, and that's exactly what they do. So, friends, I am absolutely fine with folks who meet in a cathedral and get dressed up to go to church on Sunday and have a pipe organ, if they have a heart to touch lost and dying people outside of that building. And I've got zero problem with folks that gather in houses as their main expression, and they dress casually, they have meals together, if their hearts are burning with love for Jesus. I'm not talking about superficial forms like this. I'm talking about when the church acts like the world to win the world, it has ceased to act like the Church of Jesus. When the people of God live like the world to win the world, they have nothing to win the world to. We come back, we'll talk about a church that meets in a bar and serves hard liquor, not made up, real life.
Hear our cry, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. How much should we become like the world to win the world? Should we have instruments that the world uses, an amplification that the world uses, and be culturally relevant in our preaching? Should we be as different from the world as possible? If the world is into musical instruments, we use none. We use no illustrations from culture and just quote scripture. Is there a happy medium? Are there lines that we can cross that are wrong lines? 866-348-7884. So what got my attention on this was a recent story, and I know it's just one group, but the mentality, if not this extreme, but the mentality is still increasingly common in the body today. Got to be relevant. See, relevant. My pastor's so relevant. He quotes from all these recent movies. And yeah, well, a lot of them are trash. Why was he watching them? Aren't they defiling with the nudity and sexual scenes and the gratuitous violence and profanity? Why was he watching them? And you honestly think that people wouldn't have got saved if you preached the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit without referencing the latest movie? So there's a church in Springfield, Missouri. It rents a downtown nightclub for scripture and scotch and Sunday services. The story says fewer than 25% of Americans say they go to church at least twice a month. A man who used to be a dedicated churchgoer says that's just not enough, but he's not going either. So we decided to do something different to appeal to the people looking for something a bit different in a church. Inside a downtown nightclub on a recent Tuesday night, the crowd was tapping its toes to Sweet Child of Mine and Sweet Childhood Memories. Noble Bowman's memories are a little more bitter than sweet, at least when it comes to religion. I grew up in old Pentecostal style, he said. Bowman says church life was strict and definitive with no room to question. By the time he reached adulthood, he was disenchanted. I got to a point where I realized somebody else had defined God for me, and I decided to take some time and let God define himself. Bowman found his definition of God at a bar with a band, booze, and the Bible. It's called the Chapel at Instinct. After the club renting out its venue, okay, so we call this thing scripture and scotch. Let me just see if I can play this one clip for you so you can hear things out of this gentleman's mouth directly.
I grew up in like old style Pentecostal.
Bowman says church life was strict and definitive, no room to question. By the time he reached adulthood, he was disenchanted.
I got to a point where I realized that somebody else had defined God for me. And I decided to take some time and let God define himself.
At a bar.
It'll be the Chapel at Instinct.
With a band. And booze.
Okay, so we call this thing scripture and scotch.
But also the Bible.
This is in Matthew chapter 7. He said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek. And you will find.
According to recent Pew research, 29% of Americans say they either seldom or rarely attend church. One third of people under 30 say they don't identify with any particular religion. But one third of that third say they do believe in God.
And I realized that they believe in God. They just want to be engaged where they live. So this is our attempt to reach out and engage people where they live, not necessarily ask them to come to us.
That's what.
All right. So what do you think of that? What do you think of that? 866-348-7884. Meet people where they live. They're not going to come to church. We'll go to them. We'll rent the nightclub out. We'll have music, worldly music they're familiar with. Serve them scotch and tell them about Jesus. Hey, reaching out to the lost. Why not? What do you think? 866-348-7884. Look, I wrote about something extreme in my book, How Saved Are We? Waxing sarcastic. When I said, look, if you want to reach the lost and reach people that are in need, why not be a Christian prostitute? Yes, I was being sarcastic. I was being facetious. But why not be a Christian prostitute. Hey, after all, the only people coming to you are going to be men who are not right with God, and you could show them love, and then you could tell them about Jesus when they're feeling guilty. Maybe they cheated on their wives. You know, you could be called streetwalkers for the Savior or hookers for Him. You say, well, that's the worst thing I've ever heard. Oh, okay. We agree. But it's a difference in degrees, but what's the fundamental difference between that and serving people hard liquor while you tell them about Jesus? What's the fundamental difference? Friends, the church needs to wake up to reality. We're not going to win the world by becoming like the world. We're not going to win sinners by sinning. We're not going to win bound people by becoming bound ourselves. We're not going to reach sexual addicts by being sexual addicts ourselves. You say, well, no one's talking about that. Well, friend, when you are talking about serving liquor in a nightclub, in a worldly environment, and then you're going to preach the Bible, what are you going to tell people? What are you going to tell people about the message of repentance? What are you going to tell people about holiness and purity? What are you going to tell people about turning away from sin? What are you going to tell people about take up your cross and follow Jesus? What are you going to tell people about deny yourself? What are you going to tell people about without holiness, no one will see the Lord? You say, man, you just sound like a legalist. No, I sound like someone who loves Jesus, and because I love Jesus, I hate the destructive power of sin. Now, here's why I'm bringing this up. I recognize this is one particular church, and there are hundreds of thousands of churches in America, right? I understand that most, even in the seeker-sensitive, we must be relevant circles, would consider this a little extreme. But my question is, how extreme is it really when you look at what other churches do? When you look at people, they don't want to say anything controversial. Here, I'll give you an example. A church on Long Island, when it was Resurrection Sunday, leading up to Resurrection Sunday, they told their congregants, bring your friends along. Bring your friends. We promise you they will not be offended in the service. Now, hang on. If they meant we won't do something stupid to embarrass them, fine. You know, we will not bring up a basket of Easter eggs and smash it on the platform as an abomination. We won't have a burning of Easter bunny chocolates after the service. You know, we're not going to offend anyone. Oh, okay, I understand that. And to be candid, we basically have an agreement at Fire at my home congregation. I'm the founder of the ministry here, but I don't pastor the congregation. That we have an agreement that's not the Sunday to ask me to speak, Resurrection Sunday, just because I get burdened by some of the things that are joined together with it, you know, the Easter egg hunts and the Easter baskets and stuff that's just got nothing to do with Jesus and the resurrection. And you can call in and say it's all related. Fine. God bless you. But we agree that's not the best Sunday for me, you know, because you got grandma coming who just prepared the Easter basket for the grandkids. And here I get up and I'm talking about Jewish roots. So we figure, okay, let someone else preach that Sunday. If that's what they mean, fine. But I don't understand how you can preach the truth about Jesus and guarantee no one's going to be offended. Plenty of people were offended about it. It was part of the very calling of who he was, part of his very nature. That Luke, the second chapter, Simeon prophesies over him. He's appointed for the falling and rising of many in Israel and for a sign to be spoken against that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. There was a reason the world hated him, calling him Beelzebub, prince of demons, despising him, saying he was demon-possessed himself, ultimately nailing him to a cross. There's a reason the world opposed Jesus. We think we're going to follow him and preach him, and everybody's going to like us. We think we can guarantee, come to our service Resurrection Sunday, and we guarantee nobody will be offended. Well, the only one that won't be offended is you don't tell the truth. And then if that's the case, then the believers should be offended. It's one thing to be offensive. It's one thing to be mean-spirited. It's one thing to have a bad attitude. It's one thing to be nasty. It's one thing to be condescending. Look, I could use sarcasm in a way that's offensive to people if I'm not careful. That's entirely different from the offense of the cross. That's entirely different from the offense of the gospel. And friends, if you're trying to make your church so nice and relevant that no one's offended, then you're not preaching the gospel anymore. And you're not living it because your lifestyle would offend people. 866-34-TRUTH. Back with your calls.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for tuning in, 866-348-7884. Tomorrow, 2 hours of broadcasting you don't want to miss. So whatever part of the broadcast you get, everyone listening now, you're listening to my second hour. 2 hours of what will be a riveting broadcast with my friend Steve Hill, back from the dead. He was given just a few days to live with terminal cancer a couple years back. God has raised him up just literally out from 1 inch from the grave and has given him a message for the church called Spiritual Avalanche, The Threat of False Teachings That Could Destroy Millions. I have a copy of his book. It's hot off the press, literally. We'll be doing an interview on this tomorrow. So get the word out. And all of our friends listening in the greater Dallas-Fort Worth area, call your friends. Tell them to tune in because Steve is Dallas-based. 866-348-7884. This whole the Bible and booze, scotch and scripture inspired some comments. Let's just see here. How about scripture and sex? How about preaching and pornography? How about worship and womanizing? Yeah, how about it? Why not? Why not? Hey, it's drawing people to Jesus. Hey, they're hearing about scripture. You know what will draw people to Jesus? Jesus. Lifting him up, preaching him, living like him, being full of his spirit. As it says in 1 John, as he is, so are we in this world, living out the gospel, giving no offense through our own wrongdoing, but preaching the cross without apology, calling people to repentance in the power of the Holy Spirit. It has worked in every culture known to man. In every age of history, it will work today. The biggest problems we're having in the church are due to our departing from the gospel and the powerlessness of our message and the hypocrisy of our lives. When we get rightly plugged in and live right, you become a burning flame. People will come to watch you burn. 866-348-7884. Patrick in West Bloomfield, Michigan. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. How are you today?
I'm blessed, sir. How about you?
Very good. Yeah, I don't have a problem if this was, as far as this pastor meeting in a bar, sharing the gospel, if it's an outreach program and, you know, there's some very strong believers. But if this is a group that they're meeting there every week and this is where they're holding church, you know, that's set up for failure.
Yeah, so in other words, Patrick, if they said, hey, we've got 20 real solid believers saved out of the world, they love Jesus, we're renting this bar Sunday mornings because they're not open Sunday mornings, and we invite people to come, and hey, it's not a cathedral, they feel a little bit more at home, and we preach Jesus, and we preach against drunkenness, and we hold up holy standards and call people to repent, and they're getting right with God in that building. Yeah, that's one thing. But that's your church service, and you're getting you're being served hard liquor in the midst of it. Yeah, how are you going to make a disciple in that environment, Patrick? What is that person going to look like?
Yeah, that's just you know, the Apostle Paul warns us to be very careful, not ourselves to fall into the pit of sin.
Yeah,
and you know, that's just a setup for failure. I mean, my sister was formerly gay, and the Lord, thank God, healed her, and she is now married and goes into prisons and ministers to other, you know, women that are in that lifestyle. So, but she's, you know, very grounded, and she's not going into gay bars and putting herself back into that.
Right. Nor is she saying, hey, let's watch some gay porn together, and then we'll talk to you about Jesus. Yeah, and by the way, you know, the world says that your sister does not exist. The world says that no one ever changes, but obviously you're an eyewitness to it in your sister's life. And,
yeah,
you know, here's the thing, Patrick. How many alcoholics are going to get set free from alcoholism in the meeting in the bar with scotch and scripture? How many drug addicts are going to get set free? You know what it's like? It's like saying we're going to have a weight loss, get fit camp, and we meet every day at McDonald's, breakfast, lunch, dinner, and we serve Big Macs and so on, you know, every day. And that, yeah, it's not going to work. Thank you, Patrick. Clear and simple, absolutely. Sharon in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, thank you for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, Dr. Brown, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
You know, we've had 50, 60 years of easy believism, and nothing stays the same. It either gets better or it gets worse. And we're only seeing the worst side of getting out of God's word and not staying true to him. And Jesus said in Luke 6:46, why call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things I command you to do?
Mm-hmm.
Paul says, let this mind be in you that's also in Christ Jesus. We're to walk carefully. You know, it's going forward and chomping the gum and going out and not having any change. You know, going forward and making a confession is not a get-out-of-jail-free card.
Yep.
And Christianity...
Now, Sharon, let me say
it's
this.
It's hard.
It's
a battle. It's warfare. It's
right,
not
and there
a
is,
win.
Right. There is great joy in following Jesus, and God gives us grace, and we're amazed to see changes that come. At the same time, Paul writes to Timothy, endure hardship as a good soldier of Messiah Jesus.
Yes.
Paul says, I buffet my body, or I bring my body under control. I make it my slave, so that after I've preached to others, I shouldn't become a castaway. Jesus says, if you want to follow me, you must deny yourself, take up your cross daily. It's a serious commitment. And Sharon, let me just say this. I was with a pastor in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, who told me that there are churches in Tuscaloosa that organize tours. They have a big tour bus, and they meet at the church, they get on the tour bus, and they go to casinos up north to gamble. Oh, thank you, dear sister, for the call. 866-348-7884. All right, get on top of this. Call right now to order your copy of Spiritual Avalanche by Steve Hill, The Threat of False Teachings That Could Destroy Millions. You're going to hear Steve tomorrow on the broadcast. I personally endorsed the book and said this could be one of the most important books of the decade. The vision God gave Steve is disturbing and compelling, turning us from impending disaster and calling us back to the true gospel. Here's the number to call. You'll get the book and our two-hour interview that'll take place tomorrow. 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time. 1-800-278-9978. Or just go to my website, askdrbrown.org. And you go there, just click on the online bookstore. We will be back with much, much more.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Friends, I was chomping at the bit to get to our microphones and to do these broadcasts today on the line of fire. My heart has been burning, and I trust that your heart will burn as well. 866-34-TRUTH. How relevant to the world do we need to come to win the world? How much like the world do we need to come to change the world? If we are just somehow in our ivory tower as theologians or just in our lovely chapels as Christians, is that going to touch the world? If we are just living self-righteous lives and scorning the sin of the world, is that going to change anyone? Or is that perhaps an exaggerated picture? And perhaps people want to caricature who you are, who I am, as if we're not involved with the world because we're not doing worldly things. Friends, please show me anywhere in Scripture where people sinned in order to reach sinners, where people compromised in order to reach compromised people. Oh, cultural sensitivity, cultural adaptivity. Becoming like the world in that sense, Hudson Taylor in China realizing, okay, I've got to dress like a Chinese person, not just speak their language, or I'm still going to be viewed totally as a foreigner. Cultural identification, yes. Understanding, if you're preaching with certain theological language and you're trying to do an outreach in the inner city to 10-year-old kids, they're not going to understand you. That is speaking in a way that is coherent and understandable by the people. But here, are you going to use profanity? Because that show, man, you're not religious, man. You talk like us. Hey, man, I not only talk like you, let's go out and party. Man, I like that kind of pastor. He's down here with us. He goes party with us. He does, you know, he preaches. He's not hung up on those religious terms. Yeah, and we pass the joint around. He's right with us, man. I like that. Yeah, you like it because you don't have to change. You like it because you can have Jesus and have the world, too. You can have Jesus and have your sin, too. 866-348-7884. And let me say that the hyper-grace message ties right in with this. The hyper-grace message that just tells you as a believer that God is always thrilled with you and God is always excited about you and God is always singing praises about you no matter how you live. And no matter what you do in your life, it cannot affect your relationship with God. Friends, that's just not biblical. That's just not true. I can guarantee you through Scripture. And how about common spiritual sense? That if God forbid, you were out committing adultery, lying to your spouse, destroying your marriage, deceiving your children, maybe your pastor, deceiving your congregation, and you're committing adultery with someone you're not married to on a daily basis, I can guarantee you that God is not pleased with you the same as he'd be pleased with you if you were living a godly life. I can guarantee it, and Scripture tells us. In fact, Scripture exhorts us to find out what pleases the Lord and not to grieve the Holy Spirit. And we have many exhortations and many warnings in Scripture. Someone shot me a note, the hyper-grace message makes me lazy. I need to pray. Oh, but God understands. You say, no, but when you really understand grace, you'll just go for it. Yeah, there is that transformation. But then the fact is, there's also the flesh, and there's also the world, and there's also temptation. And often, we get a little weary. And sometimes we get deceived. Here, I wrote this over 20 years ago in a chapter called Counterfeit Grace in my book, It's Time to Rock the Boat. It said there's a message that's spreading through the body. It's sweeping through the body. Today, 20 years plus, I wrote about what I call counterfeit grace. And I said the Apostle Paul warned us against it three separate times. Do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. I warn you, do not be deceived. We need to take the warnings seriously as well. All right, back with your call. Stay with us.
Fire we want, for fire we please. Send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire as we stir the waters today. And once again, sound the alarm, a wake-up call to much of the Church of America that has become in certain ways irrelevant to society and irrelevant to God's work by trying to be so relevant to the world. Instead of realizing a lot of people are leaving the church because we're just not living things out and we're not preaching the truth and the power of God's not in our midst, we think, oh, we got to change everything to keep the people. And if it's one thing if you got a nine-hour-long service and people get a little bit bored by it, or you preach for 6 hours and it's more than, or I'm exaggerating, but okay, you can be sensitive to that. It's one thing if you got no air conditioning and you're in a hot climate and the temperature gets so hot in the building that, you know, the metal chairs, you burn yourself when you sit down. Okay, you can be sensitive to those kind of things. But we don't need to lower the standards of God to help. How are you going to help people go higher by lowering the standards? 866-348-7884. What got me on this subject today, and it doesn't take much to get me on it, was the report from Springfield, Missouri, about a church that, or so-called church, that meets in a nightclub and serves hard liquor with their meetings. They say it's scotch and scripture, booze and the Bible. Yep, like someone wrote into me, how about pornography and preaching? Yeah, look, how about the strip clubs? That's it, man. That's the strategy. Going to the strip clubs. The guys will come to watch the ladies strip, and then you can preach how Jesus, how Jesus taught against lust. Oh, yeah, you're going to preach that. You see the sheer hypocrisy of this. 866-348-7884. Deborah in Dallas, Texas, thanks for calling The Line of Fire today.
So how are you, Dr. Brown?
Very well. How about you?
Well, I just love the purity that's coming out of you because I see there's so much compromise in the church today. We know that God is a God of love, but we also, people must know he's a God of judgment, that, you know, the soul that sins, it shall die. It also says, do not be partaker of other men's sins. And I believe when you're truly led by the Holy Spirit, he's going to show you how to minister to the lost.
Yes.
He's going to lead and give you the words, and he's going to give you the plan of God. And I think when people are not careful enough to seek God's will, maybe a multitude of counselors or safety, it's the seducing spirits that lead God's people astray off of the plan of God to partake of things that you're mentioning. So,
yeah,
holiness, I see that coming back to the body of Christ. I know Ananias and Sapphira, the judgment of God came on them, and great fear came upon the body. So I believe that God is going to bring the fear of the Lord back, which is the beginning of wisdom.
Yeah, Deborah, we must have it. God is jealous for his name.
Right.
We as his people should not walk around thinking, oh, no, I thought a wrong thought. Lightning's going to strike me. Oh, I prayed 11 minutes instead of 12 minutes. God hates me. Mm-hmm. No, we need to be secure in his love. We need to understand who he is, who our loving God is, how ugly and destructive sin is. The God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament. Hebrews 12:29 quotes Deuteronomy 4:24. Our God is a consuming fire, and that needs to influence the way we live. And Deborah, I believe that biblical holiness is coming back, that people are seeing the folly and the futility of casting off God's standards and saying that we have liberty. The liberty we have is not liberty to sin, it's liberty from sin. Deborah, thank you for calling and for your kind words. 866-34-TRUTH. Chris in Cleveland, Ohio, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
How are you doing, Dr. Brown? This is Evangelist Williams. I heard you say something in the beginning about how we have to communicate. We have a saying here when we go to the streets, we have to love the hell out of them.
Mm.
In other words, we love them so much that we have to show the love of Jesus Christ at all times. We cannot change. We cannot try to do anything other but what the Lord shows us. And when we show them that, then they can understand why we're out there, why we're talking to them, and why we want them to turn around. I work in a prison, too, and I try to show that same love in the prison, too. Without trying to be like them, I try to set the example of what a child of God is supposed
yes,
to be
sir.
Like.
Yes, sir.
And I think that if we understand that the judgment is going to begin at the household of God, we better start checking ourselves out very closely, because pretty soon, the way everything is going in this country here, we never know when the Lord might come. But the ideal of it is that we have to be on our guards all the time, not to fall to the deceitfulness of Satan. And we as children of God, we have the power over him, and we don't seem like we know that.
Yeah. Chris, I'd let you preach all day, man. I'm absolutely with you. Look, if we want to show people what Jesus does, look, when you go to work out, you have a trainer. The trainer does not come in 600 pounds, out of breath, and collapse as they try to show you an exercise. That trainer is fit. And when someone gets up to testify how God delivered them from drugs, they don't get up there with slurred speech and bloodshot eyes because they're high. These guys in prison, Chris, they know how they got in prison. They need to know how to get out and how to stay out. So let me ask you this. You're going into the inner city. You're going into the prisons. Are you seeing people get changed by the power of the gospel?
Yes, I am. And by me staying faithful, Dr. Brown, in my unit, I've had it for 12 years, finally, I went through a lot of persecution, but I've seen it become faith-based.
Yeah.
And now, by being faith-based, God has opened the doors for me to really talk to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And by them seeing me daily, and they even say, like, when I'm not there, they feel like the Spirit of God has left. I said, no, the Spirit of God is in you.
Yeah,
you have to understand that you work this out yourself, salvation. It's
not me.
It's about Jesus Christ. And people have to get an understanding that we got the most powerful being in all the universe, who created the universe, is in us, helping us to work these things out every day if we desire to.
Chris, I'm with you 100%. Thank you, sir, for calling and blessing our audience with your words. God bless you, man. Keep up the good work.
And I love your show. I love your show.
Oh, well, thank you. That means a lot to me. I really appreciate it. Thank you, sir. All right, 866-348-7884. Leonard Ravenhill, whom I had the pleasure of knowing as a close friend the last 5 years of his life, from 1989 to 1994, from the ages of 82 to 87. Saintly Brother Len, he said, I think one of the serious breakdowns in modern evangelism is this. It is offered too much for too little. What we do mostly is offer forgiveness. We need cleansing. There is no true conversion until a man takes up his cross. Oh, and Charles Spurgeon said this, when we deal seriously with our sins, God will deal gently with us. Donnie in Denton, Texas, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
How you doing today?
Doing well.
Good. You know, I go to a church out of Argyle, Texas, Cross Timbers Community Church, and they started in the back of a bar, and now they're 5,000 members strong, and they're reaching the world. You know, I just believe we serve a big God, and if a man feels led to go into a bar and preach the gospel, if he reaches one soul, you know, we serve a big God, and he can reach into the places of darkness and pull people out of it.
So just to be clear, though, the church you're talking about, they met in an active bar, and they served liquor to the people coming. They served scotch and booze, and
no,
they mixed.
I don't say they did that.
That's the issue. In other words, meeting in a building. I preached once in a bar. I stood up. I went to speak at a congregation, and they met in what was a bar in some bigger building, and it was just used on Sunday mornings. If God opens the door and people come in there and hear the gospel, wonderful. But what my issue is, this guy saying, look, people aren't going to come to church, and they're turned off by religion, so we're going to meet them where they are. and it's scotch in scripture, booze in the Bible. That's the issue. You know, it's one thing to go into a rough part of town and preach the gospel there. It's another thing to say, well, let's get high and sleep around with the ladies here while we're here, because that's what they do, and let's reach people where they are. I mean, that's completely contrary to the gospel.
I understand that, but, you know, if a pastor or a man led by God goes into a bar and they're drinking in there and he's preaching the gospel, now I don't advocate a Christian going into a bar and drinking with them.
Right.
You go into a bar and preach to people.
If you go there and preach, great, but don't rent it out for church services and then serve scotch along with scripture. What you're basically saying is no problem with drunkenness, no problem with hard liquor. You can be a follower of Jesus, and you can have your sin, too. And that, of course, is a deception that will damn people's souls. Donnie, thank you for calling. Of course, we go into all the world to reach the lost. We'll be back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I am holding in my hand a copy, an advanced copy I got of Steve Hill's book, Spiritual Avalanche, The Threat of False Teachings That Could Destroy Millions. Steve will be joining me for two whole hours tomorrow. So that's 3 to 4 Eastern Standard Time, 2 to 3 Central Time, so work it out on your calendar for the second hour as you're listening now, but we'll be on 2 whole hours, I should say 2 to 4 Eastern Standard. You can listen online, AskDrBrown.org, click on the Line of Fire, or whatever station you're listening to right now. We will be coming your way live. 2 riveting hours you do not want to miss. I'll tell you in a moment how you can get this book along with the interview for tomorrow. Are you connected with me, friends? Do you know about the articles that I put out today, 2 articles that we posted? 1, Mr. Clinton, you're wrong about overturning DOMA. With respect, but with clarity, I confront former President Clinton on his call to overturn the Defense of Marriage Act, which he signed into law. Posted that. Posted an article called Recovering the Lost Letter of Jacob. You said, what's that about? Well, if you're connected to me via Facebook or Twitter or just getting our e-blast, you would know about these things. So go to my website, AskDrBrown.org. Sign up to get our e-blast. You'd know that Steve Hill was going to be joining me today because we did an e-blast about that. If you connect on Facebook, that's AskDrBrown, AskDr Brown on Facebook, or on Twitter, Dr. Michael L. Brown, DR, Dr. Michael L. Brown on Twitter. And connect one of these different ways, friends. This way we can keep pouring into you. Hey, I just posted this quote from Charles Spurgeon that I mentioned earlier. When we deal seriously with our sins, God will deal gently with us. Paul explained in 1 Corinthians 9 that he became all things to all people, if by any means he might save some. What did he mean? He became a drug addict to the drug addicts, an alcoholic to the alcoholics, a sexual slave to the sexual slaves. No. All of his letters, he talks about, when he makes reference to his own life, the example, he said, of holiness and purity and godliness. What he meant was, when I'm with Jewish traditionalists who keep traditions beyond what I would even keep, I'll keep those too. To the Jews, I became a Jew to win the Jews. Remember, he already was a Jew. To the Jews, I became a Jew to win the Jews. So he meant he would keep certain customs, traditions beyond what he normally would, even though he didn't have to reach them. And then he said, to those outside of the law, meaning the Gentiles, I became outside of law as well, but not meaning outside the law of Christ. What was he saying? He was saying if it, in order to reach a Gentile, it meant, say, eating pork with that person, and that was the way to bring the gospel to them, I would do that. But I wouldn't sleep with the guy's wife. You know, I wouldn't get drunk because they get drunk. No, he was still under Messiah's law, the law of Christ, but he did not keep certain laws he would have normally because these were not laws of morality. These were laws that God just gave Israel to keep separate from the nation. So if in order to reach people, let's say we go to India, we have an Indian worship team, and their songs sound different to me, and the music, the tonality sounds different to me, and I don't understand the words. It's in Telugu or it's in Hindi or whatever the language is, but it's a solid worship team, and they're ministering to the people. Okay, well, I may not get as edified by the music because I'm not used to it, but they're reached by it. And they may tell me, brother, you know, we want you to wear the Indian outfit and so on. Fine. But I'm not going to go, extreme example. You know, you're not going to go to a nudist camp. I'll be nude to be with the nudists. Okay? We don't win the world by becoming like the world. We don't win sinners by sinning. It's the power of the gospel. It's the radiance of Jesus. It's the conviction of the Holy Spirit that brings the transformation. Debbie in St. Petersburg, Florida, thank you for calling the Line of Fire. Hello, Debbie. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, you're on the air.
I would like to have you go ahead and expound on the false teaching that all you have to do is acknowledge Christ as the Son of God and repent of your sin one time, and so many people, if you try to bring up right living, they will say, Christ died for my sin, past, present, and future. Could you expound on the depth of so many other scriptures they don't want to hear?
Yeah.
It's not them that says that they love
Debbie.
Me, but it is him that does my will.
Right, exactly, and yeah, time is a little short. Of course, my whole book on hyper grace will deal with that. Let me say that there are people that I say preach hyper grace, but they keep saying, look, sin is wrong. We shouldn't sin. There's not a license to sin. However, because of the extreme statements they make, it does often encourage sin or the flesh or give an outlet for it. Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father. That's Matthew 7:21. 2 Timothy 2:19. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who calls on the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. Hebrews 12:14. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Therefore, we're called to pursue holiness. 2 Corinthians 6:14 to 2 Corinthians 7:1. Paul urges us to come out from the world and be separate. Then God says, then I will receive you and you will be my sons and daughters. It's not salvation by works, it's salvation. Salvation changes us. Jesus said, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. If the Son sets you free indeed. He said, you'll know the truth, you'll be my disciples indeed, and the truth will set you free. Free from sin, not to sin. He died for us so that we, having died with him, now live to do his will. And those who claim to be followers of Jesus but are living in persistent rebellion, unrepentant sin, and refuse to hear our pleas and prayers for them to change, we are actually to put out of the body because they will not enter and they need to be awakened. That's taught clearly in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Debbie, I've hit on this a lot, out of time now, but thank you for asking me to address these things, and we'll continue to address them tomorrow as well as I interview Steve Hill. So friends, get the book. You will not be disappointed. You'll be riveted. Spiritual Avalanche, The Threat of False Teachings That Could Destroy Millions, plus the two-hour interview that Steve and I will do tomorrow. Get word out to your friends about it. Here's the number to call, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978, or just go online to askdrbrown.org and click on the online bookstore. You'll find the offer there. Again, the book plus tomorrow's interview, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, Paul wrote to the Romans almost 2,000 years ago that it was high time for us to awaken from slumber. How much more is it time for you and for me to awaken from spiritual slumber and stupor?